after prayer and after that worship, that's all I needed tonight. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, I'm going to be speaking in Nehemiah tonight if you want to turn, but I want to tell you how awesome God is. He gave me this message 2 months ago before my knee surgery. I was praying one day and I asked God about some situations in my life, and he sent me to Nehemiah, and he gave me, I like to title my sermons, he gave me a title for it, No Situation is Too Difficult for God. But this morning, well, last night when I went to bed, because of situations that's happened in my life, I went to bed just praising him, thanking him for giving me a peace yesterday. I don't know how he did it, but there was a peace. Paula texted me yesterday morning and asked me how I was doing, and I said, I don't know, other than I have peace of God. I mean, I have the peace this morning. It only has to be God. So I was thinking about that when I went to bed last night. When I woke up, I was thinking, God, that sermon you gave me, No Situation is Too Difficult for You, it should have been titled Fear, because I have had fear coming against me for months now. Fear of what was going to happen in a certain situation. Fear it was going to happen in this situation. And as a Christian, we're not supposed to have that fear, but we do, because that's how the enemy comes in. He sneaks in and puts that fear on us. And I have had fear, and I've had to battle it every morning when I get up, every night when I go to bed. I praise God. Don't let me have bad dreams tonight. Give me good dreams. Don't let me have fear tonight. And last night, I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any bad dreams. I woke up this morning just feeling thankful for what he did with me yesterday. He gave me this to prepare me for yesterday. He knew I needed this message for me. And I hope that one of you or all of you, this is for you too. Because in Nehemiah, it talks about the fear. And God knew I needed it. I've had a situation in my family life that it's just devastating. Never thought I'd be walking through this in my time of my life. But God has delivered me, gave me freedom. I love that song, gave me the freedom. I was standing there singing, and I said, yeah, God, that's what you did. You gave me freedom from that fear. Not saying I'm going to wake up in the morning and have that same, or go back. I have to fight it every day. So if you turn with me to Nehemiah, it's, I'm just start out with chapter 1. It goes through 6, but I promise you I'm not reading all 6 chapters. But I will paraphrase it, because it's too good to not. Oh, I didn't get my glasses. I can't see. Yeah. Todd, I need your perfect eyes. He was saying, I got perfect eyes, and he couldn't read Shanna's crawl little thing. I loved it. Okay, Nehemiah. It's Nehemiah's prayer. But I, when I was praying and I asked God, God, there's so much more than this. And he said, there's no situation too difficult for me. And that's what he did for Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnants that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and distress. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted. I prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying for you today and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you exiled people are at the furthest horizon, even if we're the furthest from God, he's going to remember, I will gather them from there and bring them to this place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are servants and your people who you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer and reverence your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And he also, at the end, he says, I was a cupbearer of the king. And that's important. And he put it there for a reason. Just like Joseph, God placed Nehemiah in this land and he had favor with the king. God placed Joseph in Egypt to save his nation. He placed Nehemiah here to save his nation, Jerusalem. He places people like us to save our nation, our next generation. It's not an accident that you're here tonight. It's not an accident that we're in the city of Vidor. It's not an accident that God has placed you in this city for a reason. There's something here God has for you to do. He's placed you here for a reason. He's given you favor like he did Nehemiah and Joseph. They had favor with God. Joseph had favor with the Pharaoh, the king. And he was exalted, put up high next, just next, further than the king to save his nation. Nehemiah was put as a cupbearer for that king. And I liked it when he put, and it just says, I was a cupbearer to the king. And that's all he said. He didn't say, oh, I was made this, this, and this. He wasn't feathering himself, patting himself on the back. But there, it was for a reason. He was placed there. He had favor with that king because that king was going to do great things for Nehemiah to be able to go save his people. And he asked his king. He went to his king to serve his wine, and the king told, that was in chapter 2, the king told Nehemiah, he said, why do you, he said, the king asked him, why are you sad, although it's not that you're sick? He said, this is nothing but sadness of the heart. Nehemiah was very afraid when the king asked him why he was sad. He could have been killed because he wasn't serving and lifting that king up. I got to thinking about it, that fear. And somewhere later on it said he had fear. I think in chapter 2, let's see, chapter 2, it said, what is this you want? He feared. He had fear in his heart. He was afraid. It said, I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. He was making sure he was giving his king honor. He was, that fear crept on him. He was placed there for a reason, but he had fear. He was a man of God, but he still had fear. But he had to get over it. Just like we have to get over our fear, I had to get over my fear. We all have fears. We all have things we struggle with. But God gets us through those things. When we seek God in prayer, when we ask what he asks us what we need. What I liked about Nehemiah, the king asked him, he said, when he told him about his city and he said, I'd like to go back. He didn't know if the king was going to send him in prison or anything. He didn't know what that king was going to do, but he told him, my city is in despair. My city, my people are in despair. They're losing hope. Their walls are down. Jerusalem's walls are down. The gates are burned. The people are in exile. The people are hungry. They could have died. And what happened was God gave favor to Nehemiah with this king. The king asked him, what do you need? How simple it is to, he could have said, well, you're serving me. You're going to stay here. Forget about your people. God placed that king at that time for Nehemiah to give him his specific needs. When we ask him for needs, he was there. He waits for us. He asks us, what do you need? When that king asked Nehemiah, what do you need? Nehemiah didn't say, well, I don't know. Because God placed it on his heart what he needed. He prayed, and it said in chapter 2, he prayed before the Lord. Then he told the king, we need this. I need letters to go through these different lands to get to my Jerusalem. I need timber. I need letters for you to give that king to give me timber. I need this. I need this. The king gave him chariots, horsemen. He gave him armies to go with him. He gave him every supply he needed to go to Jerusalem and fix this. But he asked him, he said, when are you going to get back? Nehemiah gave him a specific date. He wasn't afraid, well, I don't know when I'm going to come back, because God already told him when he was going to come back. He gave him specific instructions. So when we ask God our needs, and God has said, what do you need, my child? And was, well, I don't know. You do know what you need. And we have to be specific in our prayer. We have to be specific and say, I need this, God. I need this. I used to think that you just went to church, prayed to God, and hoped he listened to your prayers. That's how I felt. Now it's like, when he says, what do you need, my child, my daughter? What do you need? I tell him what I need. I write it down in a journal. Lord, I need this. I need this. I need this. Be specific in your prayers. I liked it when you said you come in here with all that bondage and he gave you freedom, because you came. You came wanting that presence. You wanted that freedom. And that's what we're to do. We're to come in his presence every day, every morning, and be specific. I can't even talk specific with your needs. And it's so neat, because when Nehemiah, he went to the Jerusalem, and he made it there. He had had everything he needed. What he did, he didn't tell anyone what he was going to do. The people, the priest and the noblemen and stuff. He didn't say, I'm going to come and I'm going to go scout out and see what needs to be done. Because God sent him there. He already knew what he needed to be done. He went through the town at night. He took a couple of people with him. Didn't tell anybody what he was going to do. He went and saw the needs of the town. He couldn't even ride his horse through one part of it. It was saying he had to go through some walls and stuff. So he had to leave his horse behind. And he saw the needs of everything that he needed to do. And then he come back and he told the nobles and the priest what they needed. He went out and he searched, and then he approached them. And he told them, you see the bad situation we're in. The gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild. He told them how the hand of God had been favorable to him, and also what the king spoke to him to go and rebuild. So they said, let's arise and build. So they put their hands to good work. When God gives you something, a word, Like he gave me this 2 months ago. I sat on it. I prayed about it. And all of a sudden, God worked everything out for me because I waited on the Lord. I waited. That's what Nehemiah did. He waited on the Lord to show him what needed to be done. Then he went to these people. And you know why they were receptive? Because God knew Nehemiah had favor with the Lord. And he told them, God told me this. And what they do, let's get up and arise and build. That's what we need to do. It's good when we get a word from God, and before we face those problems, we know it's from God. But do we run out and tell, oh, God told me this? No, sometimes we need to sit and we need to wait. Wait on the Lord. Let him open that door for you to speak to someone, to say, okay. Like I called Paula not too long ago and said, you know, I'm ready to share the word God gave me. I wasn't going to tell her right away. That's what Nehemiah did. He didn't tell right away. He waited on the Lord. That's what we need to do when we get a word sometime. Sometime it's good when we get a word and we know, like when these men heard him say, the Lord told me this. And they said, let's get up and arise and go build. Because it was confirmation that they knew it was from God. They knew Nehemiah was a man of God. They knew, because when you have favor with the Lord, people see that. When we have favor with the Lord, we know where we need to go. We know we can talk to others. And we get a word from God. Sometimes we can share it right away because no doubt we know it's from God. But sometimes we get a word. I know for me, I get a word and I sit on it a while. I pray about it because I say, okay, God, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to open that door because it's something I really didn't want to do. And, well, he opens the door and I say, okay, God. So, you know, I said, all right, that's confirmation. I'm going to do it. Okay, so after the chapter 3, it says 1 through 32, and I'm going to paraphrase it again. After they decided to rebuild the walls and the gates, they all had different tasks assigned to them to rebuild certain sections. It was all good, and they were all had different crafts. They set a plan into action. Like we have to do, we set a plan into action. Who is good at what in this church? Who maybe a person might be able to work, or they can't, if the person maybe can't do physical labor, they can feed the people. They can, some can build, some can't, some can bring a person a drink. Everyone in this church is equipped to do something. Even our kids. Our kids are equipped to talk to people, to give out a drink of water, to tell them the love of Jesus. We have good kids in this church. This is the next generation. We need to feed our kids. We need to bring them up in the right ways. And I know every one of these kids in here are awesome. I've had the pleasure of taking Ariel with me one time when we were going in the city, and I'm telling you, that child prayed. I was shocked. I said, my gosh, she prays better than me. I was proud of that child because God used her that day to pray over this city. That's the kind of kids we have in this church. We're building them up, and I like that. And I mean, I'm telling you, if you ever want to hear her pray, she's got a prayer language, and she's awesome. And I didn't even mean to say that, but when I saw that look in your face, I had to tell you that, baby. Everybody is usable in this church, even Richie. God has a special plan for you. He has a special plan. You can do work in this church. He works at McCoy's. He's a good worker. He has specialties for each one of us. And that's what these people did. They each had a craft, and they went out and they made a plan and they went out. And I liked it because in chapter 3, it didn't talk about the women and the children. It talked about the men. You know, a lot of times in the Old Testament, it talks about the men. Like when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, he didn't mention women and children, but they were there. So I thought about it, and I thought, you know, The children had to have worked that day, with those days they were there, probably ran food back and forth. The women were back there cooking. They were, you know, the kids were running back and forth, bringing stuff to these men as they're working. So everyone in this church has a job. It might be some simple little job, but it's not simple to God. We all can be used in this kingdom of God to glorify, to give honor to God. We can't all be carpenters. We can't all talk to other people, just walk up to them, start talking. I start sweating when I have to talk to a stranger. But God's trying to get me out of that. We all can't be teachers. We all can't sing. I can't, but I try. You know, we all can't do all the things that other people do, but you have a special talent, and you can be used by God. We have a place here in this church. God has each one of you placed here for a purpose. We just need to be willing to be used. That's the key. God wants us to be willing. Nehemiah was willing to be used. And chapter 4, it talks about when the cities, they surrounded the cities out of Jerusalem, about Jerusalem rebuilding. And the people that were around the cities, out in the cities that were attacking all Jerusalem and all these people and putting them in harm's way and burning their gates and tearing down their walls. They ridiculed the people and they taunted them. They saw them working on the buildings and they taunted them. They threatened them. They tried to stop the progress on the city. The people became afraid. Again, they feared. That word fear, that cripples you. It stops you. This is what the enemy wanted to do with these people. Stop them so they wouldn't rebuild the city. But what did they do? In verse 13, Nehemiah said, "Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space, behind the walls, the exposed places. I stationed the people in their families with their swords, spears, and bows." And you know, when we have to put on our full armor of God to be prepared to do battle and defend our homes, defend our loved ones, we should never take our armor off. I loved it one night Jamie talked about the armor, each piece of that armor. It was an awesome sermon, and I thought about it. Each day we have to get up, we have to make it right. We have to put on each piece of that armor. When we wake up in the morning and when we go to bed, we shouldn't even take it off. Like we do our clothes and put our pajamas on, that armor should never come off. And that's what Nehemiah did. He stationed the people there and put them in specific places. And when God puts us in this place, and it takes prayer, it takes digging deeper in God's word, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we have to hide the word of God in our secret places, store it in there to be ready to do battle any attack in our life. We store up what God gives us to be able to do that battle. And chapter 4, verse 14, it said, "When Nehemiah saw the fear of the people, he told them, 'Fear not, do not be afraid, for God will fight your battles. He will fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.'" That's what God does for us. He fights our battles. And I love that song. I go around singing that all the time when I'm getting down. I have to fight that battle. I just let God do my battle for me, fight it. We are to be prepared and go about doing God's business and let Him do the fighting of our battles. You know, I was worried about what others thought about my son, some things that he did. And you know, I cried out to Him. I cried out. And you know what? God said, "You don't worry about that. That's that fear trying to creep up in yourself. You don't worry about it. Let me do that battle. Don't worry about what people say." Well, see, that's what these people were doing. Nehemiah wanted them to get their eyes off of that situation. And when we take our eyes off the situation and let God do that battle, that fear disappears. And when I took my eyes off the situation and let God do that battle for me, I didn't have any fear. It was gone. Yesterday I had the most peace I've had in about a year because God placed it there for me. Because I got up thinking, God, I need you. I need you. And I was praying, and all of a sudden that peace come on me. God can give us peace in the midst of the storms. God can give us peace in that when that hurricane's here just raging and whipping. We still can have peace in our life. And that's what Nehemiah was trying to show these people. He said, fear not. God has this. He's got this. You do your work. Don't worry about those enemies over there threatening to come kill us, threatening to come burn down some more gates as we get them built. Don't worry about that, because I've got this fight. You just keep about your business. You do what I have for you to do, and I'm going to take care of those people over there. I'm fighting your battles for you. I'm fighting the battles for your children. I'm fighting the battles for the next generation. Don't you worry about what's going on about that situation. You focus on me. Put your eyes on me. And those worries disappear. Those fears disappear. And it does. When we take our eyes and focus and put our eyes on Jesus, we don't have to worry about those battles. And on chapter 4, verse 15, I liked it because it said, and it happened when our enemies heard that God was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan. Then they all returned back to the wall. The people all returned back to the wall, each one of them to his own work. That's what God did. He told them to return. And that's what we do. Return back to the work I have for you. You quit worrying about that battle. And on verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, half of the servants carried on work, and the other half held spears, shields, and bowls, breastplates, and those who were rebuilding, and the ones and the others carried the burdens. They took their work, and they went to work, and in one hand they had their weapon, and the other hand they was doing their work. Sometime we have to have the situation here, and we're over here doing what God has for us, and that battle's right there. So we put on our armor of God, and we're going to stand there. I've got my armor of God. I'm not worried about this situation. I'm not worried about that because I'm doing the business God has for me. So leave that away. I've got my spear. I've got my bows. I'm letting God do my battle, but I'm here, one hand with God and one hand doing my work. And that's what he wants us to realize. We can do anything as long as we focus, put our eyes on him, not worry about that situation. And that's what Nehemiah kept trying to tell people. Don't worry about that. God's got this. And it's wonderful how God is in control of our lives. He wipes out the enemy's attacks on our lives. And all we have to do is hold on to our weapons, our prayer, standing firm so God can work. He sees our struggles. He hears our cries. And it may take a while, but he does wipe out that enemy. It might take a while for those battles to stop raging. It might take a while for him to answer our prayers, but when we press in and we lean on God, rely on God, trust him, life seems so hard at times, but we still have to stand firm and we still have to cling to God and focus on his strength. We can't explain certain things that happen in our life. We can't explain why is this happening. But God says, you know I'm here. I am. And that's all we need to know is I am. The great I am is fighting my battle. He's with me. He says, call on me. Press into me. Stay focused on me. Not your situation. I am the way, the truth, the light, your salvation, your hope, your redeemer. your comforter, your freedom from all sins, your counselor, your way maker. I love that song, way maker. He's our eternal life. We need to walk by the Spirit in all areas of our life. Keep our eyes on Jesus and not the situation. In Galatians, let me put my glasses back on, 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject to the yoke of slavery. Yoke of slavery is fear. Fear is that enemy. He wants to taunt us every day. He wants to take away our freedom from sins. He wants us to sin. He wants us to fall down. But when we stand firm, we don't have to worry about what Satan can do to us. Galatians 6:9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary, if we don't get depressed, which we do. We're human. We get depressed. We have fear. We cry. We sometimes pitch little fits. Fear can cripple us. It can stop us in our tracks. It gets a hold of us when we take our eyes off the one that can bring us through to that freedom. Fear can cripple us every day if we let him, but we can't because we have to stay focused. What Nehemiah did seemed hopeless to a lot of people all around him. I think that is in chapter 5 or 6. All around him, the enemy kept taunting them, and they kept saying, come on out, come over here, come over here. Nehemiah didn't leave his station. He stayed there. He got up, and he went and did his work. And they kept sending people to tell Nehemiah, come here, come over here. But Nehemiah said, I am not leaving my station. I'm here because I'm doing God's work. When we get up and we get up out of our situation and we move and we go out, that gives honor to God. So when we stand firm, that gives honor to God. The more we grow closer to God, it seems the enemy tries to pull us down. The closer we want to walk, there's more attacks on us. The closer we, more prayer life we have, the closer he gets a little bit in there and says, you know, you could be doing this instead of laying there praying. You know, you've got this to do. That's Satan taunting us. But what do we do? Stand firm, say, get away from me. I don't have to listen to you because my eyes are focused on my God. He's my answer. And that's what Nehemiah did. He stayed. He didn't let them taunt him. He didn't let them stop him because he became the person that God sent him to be. He became that person people need to see. He stood firm. He had God on his side. He didn't let that enemy scare him like all the other people said, oh my God, they're coming. They said, if we put that other wall up, they're going to come and knock it down. Nehemiah said, no, he's not. God's got this. We got this covered. So the closer that they come to getting that wall, they had one more gate to get finished. That's when the enemy really started coming in and taunting them. But that's when they pressed in harder. He pressed in harder, and he didn't give up. The enemy wants us, when we have that one little gate left to secure, that's when he comes after us. That one little thing that you need to do, to go do, that's when he attacks us and said, he puts situations in our life, situations that makes us want to stop, makes us want to sit down and cry. But you know what? God takes our eyes off of that situation and brings us back to focusing on him. That one little gate I didn't get closed up yet, I'm not worried about that because my God is going to be there for me. I'm not worried about that little hole in that gate, because God's there with his angels holding that gate. He's doing that battle for me. He's holding my world together. He's holding me stronger and stronger. So the more that Satan's going to attack you, the more you stand firm and say, I don't have to put up with it. And was it, I think it was Pastor told us about the preacher that was having so many attacks on him, and he just got tired of it. And one night he put two chairs and he said, okay, Satan, come on. I'm fixing to praise God. Have a seat. I love that. That's what we need to do. Tell him to have a seat. Sit yourself down there, because I'm not going to give up praising my God. I'm not going to look at that situation. I'm not going to stop doing what God has for me, because you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to me praise God and give him the glory for this day, the glory about that situation. He's going to conquer. Might not be the answers we want, but he's going to fix it. He's going to focus and put us right there in his palm of his hand and love us and give us words to go out and speak to other people, because Satan can't touch us when we're in the presence of God. When that light is right there, his light, what happens in darkness when that light comes in? That darkness is gone. It's gone forever. We don't have to put up with that old spot of darkness in our life. We know that that light is there, and he can give us the glory, and then he gets the glory, because others see what you've walked through in your life. He sees, wow, if she walked through that or he walked through that, I can do it. There's no situation in this life that God can't fix. Nothing can he not fix. And that's what I stand on. I stand firm. I was thinking, I love the things we're doing, the presence of God. I was thinking one day at work, sitting there praising him, thanking him, and I was thinking about staying in God's presence. I would always want to be there, but sometimes life gets in the way for just a moment. What happens to God's presence when life gets in the way? That situation right there. Oh, I don't want that situation in my life, God. So I'm going to walk away from it. What do? I leave God's presence right there and I'll walk away. God didn't leave me. He didn't take his presence from me. I left his presence because I was afraid of that situation. I was afraid of what I was going to have to face. But when I walk back and God takes me back in his arms and he says, child, I've got this for you. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. I've got this. You don't worry about that opening right there. Satan can't touch you. The presence of God, the presence that he had in the service tonight, in the worship service, was awesome. If you come in here and you don't feel that presence of God, you're numb and dumb. Didn't mean to say that, but that's basically numb and dumb. You've got to be numb if you didn't feel that presence of God. And I'm sorry. Okay, that's I am so bad. I didn't mean to say that, but you'd have to be dead if you didn't feel the presence of God in that worship service tonight. And I didn't mean to say that. Well, I did, I guess. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give Satan any honor of destroying my life. I refuse to give up. I stand firm, and I'm not giving up. And one more thing. I was at work, and he gives me all these things at work because I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs and say, well, I might as well pray. I don't have nothing else to do. Yes. So I was sitting there praising God and just singing and thinking, God, I don't even can't carry a tune, but God, I guess, is giving you the glory. Here comes this little fella And I have a little bitty opening like this to give money out or take money. And he's on a bicycle and he gives me a rose and he just smiles at me. And so I smile back and he takes his bicycle and there was one other car and he gave them a rose. And I saw the smile on his face. I couldn't see the other person. And I said, God, wow, that's good. Well, it was a few days later. I was praising God and I said, you know, God, I want to be able to be like that guy and give a flower. He said, when you give a flower, you're giving people my love. So even though we don't have a physical flower, when we give Jesus' love to someone else, tells them one thing, we're giving out a flower, a rose. How many like to get roses? I mean, I was just shocked. I put that little rose in a thing of water and that stayed there until it died, you know, but I'd look at it every day and think, God, you're awesome because you gave me that rose. You gave me your love. I might have needed it that day. I don't remember what was going on, but it was so awesome. So it was like think the next week, and I was praying, and I said, God, I want to give out flowers. I want to give out your love. Open the door for me to give out your love today. It wasn't 30 minutes later. This lady comes up, and I always ask everybody, well, how you doing today? And if you ask somebody, you better be willing to listen to what they've got to say, or don't even ask them. This woman said, oh, not good. And I said, well, babe, is there anything I can do for you? She starts pouring out her life to me. And I looked at her a minute and I said, okay, God, you did. I did ask you to open the door. I started telling her what God could do in that situation because she was just having negativity all around her and she didn't know how to handle it. Well, God gave me the words to tell her how to handle it. So she walks off and goes and puts her gas in the car. And he said, now you go share about the rose so she can pass on those flowers. So I went out there and I told her what God showed me about the flowers, giving flowers a day when you give love instead of negativity, because that's what she was doing to her family. She cried and she thanked me. She said, oh, that's good. So see, God had a purpose that day. So when we share love, we're giving a flower to someone that day from Jesus, and we give God the glory. So I want to thank him tonight for giving me the message. I hope someone got something out of it because it was for me. I didn't realize it until yesterday. It was for me. It got me through a lot. But if anybody needs prayer tonight about any situation in their life, anything that's come up in your life and you just don't know how to handle it, let's let God do it. If you want to come up here, we'll have prayer. And I'll say a prayer before anybody wants to come up. Father, we just thank you for this. We thank you for your words. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for each one here tonight. If you touch their life, Lord, in any way, let them know you love them. You pour out your love to us each day. We need you, Lord. We need you every day. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Does anybody need prayer for anything? We're waiting. I just thank God for this honor to be here tonight. I thank him because to be able to stand here and talk to people, if you knew me in school, if I had to do an English paper or talk, I sweated beads, my knees shaked. But when God's in presence of us, he can do anything with us. He can make us look like a beautiful rose. Amen.